let me in. Shiba, shiba. I want to be closer to you. Shiba, shiba. Open up your soul. Shiba, shiba. Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your love.
Oh, why don't you let me in? Let me be the first to ever touch your mind.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. And there is so much to be enjoyed these days. We are so very fortunate that the Golden Gate Park has a band shell and has music there lots of times, and that's just there for you to enjoy. And here to talk about how they make that music and how you can go about enjoying it, I like to welcome the music director and conductor of a Golden Gate Park band, Herman Gonzalez. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. So tell me a little bit about, like, how long have you been a part of this band?
This is my second year as music director.
Okay, and before that?
The band has been around since 1882.
Yikes!
And performing concerts at the park.
Wow.
For 143 years now.
My goodness. And when did you decide to get involved? Like, how did you first come across the band?
When I was a kid, I grew up in Pacifica, and my family went to Golden Gate Park, and we ran into the park band playing, and we'd listen, and then I'd talk to friends about it, and so I've known about it since I was a kid.
And then you just decided one day, I'm going to join the band.
Well, it was a little more complicated than that, but they had a music director opening a few years ago, and I applied, and they didn't choose me. But the second time that they had the opening again, I was chosen as the associate director, and then the director that they chose left the state, and so I took over from them.
Very nice, very nice. And so what is the role of, I mean, we all know what a conductor does because, you know, we've all pretended to be conductors ourselves in our bedrooms as children, but what's the difference between like a music director and a conductor?
I program every single concert. We have 25 concerts to program. I program classical favorites, marches, jazz and pop tunes, movie soundtracks, Broadway show tunes, and then we also have concerts that we collaborate with different community groups. So we have a Polish concert, we have an Armenian concert, Juneteenth. We do a Pride concert. We invite a group that does Scottish dancing, Hungarians.
Oh.
The Ukraine group comes, and then another Mexican-American group comes. Another week, the Irish, then the Spanish. And we also celebrate the first responders with a San Francisco concert.
Oh. And that all happens at Golden Gate Park, or do you guys travel around?
The band used to play in different parts of the city, but now it's just focused at the park, at the band shell, from April to the end of September.
Oh, well, that's
every
nice.
Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Wow! And when did that focus shift? Was that on during your tenure, or did that happen even before?
It happened before. I looked at some of the programs from 2018, 2017, and I think the last concert that they did, not at the band show, but at Pier 39, was 2018 or something like that.
Okay. So now you're the Golden Gate Park's sort of like the house band.
Yeah, we are.
I like that.
At least on Sundays.
I like it. And so you talk about all the different groups that have been there. Who's coming?
What do you mean, who's coming?
Well, you said you have all of these things that come through. Is there anyone in particular that's coming during this month, or is it mainly that you guys are there and whoever wants to show up can just show up and dance?
Oh, our cultural programs,
mm-hmm.
We had the Polish group come in, and we shared a concert with them the 1st of May. Our next one is at the end of the month with this Armenian dance group. And then in June, we have the Juneteenth and the Pride concerts. And the concerts that we do by ourselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, I program the entire 90 minutes for just us.
Okay. And then what are some of the crowd favorites that people will be hearing when they go to the concerts?
Actually, people really like the nostalgic things.
Uh-huh.
The classical favorites, it seems like they really like those classical favorites. And anything that you recall from the Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Ooh.
to music that's written specifically for band, like the First Suite in E-flat by Gustav Holst, which is probably one of the band's favorites pieces to play.
Which one is that?
What's that?
You said, well, are you saying this is the band favorite? What was the title of that one?
The Holst First Suite in E-flat.
Okay. And then, what do you guys do when it's not the summer?
Well, the band is made up of 30 musicians, and they're all professional musicians.
Okay.
They all belong to the musicians union, so it's just one of their gigs.
Okay.
During the season.
I'm kind of fascinated by the Bugs Bunny stuff because when you're a kid, you hear all this music, and then as an adult, you discover that it's real music, and it's very exciting.
People ask me how I got excited about music, and I said, well, you know, I used to watch the cartoons
mm-hmm.
when I was little, and for I don't know how many years, all I would do is just listen to the music
mm-hmm.
and just watch what the cartoon characters did, and I had no idea that there was a storyline along with it, because I focused so much on the music itself. And
well, that shows that you're a true musician, if that was your focus.
Yeah, it was a passion from a long time ago.
Very cool. So it's every Sunday, or is it the first Sunday? Is it every Sunday until when?
It's every Sunday, yeah.
Okay.
And because, you know, the band is it has 30 really talented musicians, and they are uniquely talented because they come in, we rehearse 1 hour, and then in the morning, and then we perform a 90-minute concert in the afternoon. So if you do your math, then you know that we don't run through everything
uh-huh.
that we perform that day. So sometimes they're playing something for the very first time at the concert.
Ooh.
And they do a great job.
I would think that would be kind of harrowing to get there and be like, well, okay, here we go.
Yeah, because, you know, I have to run a tight ship in rehearsal. We just run through a couple of things and beware of this and beware of that. And yes, we repeat this section, and no, let's not repeat that other section. And then when the concert comes, they're all ready to go.
Okay.
Great group of people. They're just the nicest people on the planet.
So once more for our listening audience, like when they come to the park on Sundays, about what time does it start? How long does it go? I'm assuming it's kid friendly, because music is generally kid friendly.
Yeah, our concerts are all family friendly, and the concerts are at 1 o'clock on Sundays, and they usually go for about 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the we also have two concerts that aren't Sundays. We have one on July 4th and then another one on Labor Day.
Ooh. And what kind of music will we be hearing? Well, I'm assuming that's going to be very patriotic.
Yeah, pretty much. For almost all the concerts, I love to include audience participations. So actually next week we're doing our very first Name That Tune game with the audience. So we find a medley of tunes, and then we'll play the first tune, and I'll stop it, and then the audience shouts out what the name of the tune is.
And this is going to be your very first?
First one of the season, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then we also do a couple of sing-alongs, and then when we play marches, I turn around and encourage the audience to clap.
Aww.
The beat. Well, it's really a lot of fun, and our usher encourages kids to come up onto the stage and dance while we play. It really is a lot of fun.
I can imagine. So for people who are interested in going and interested in finding out more about what you guys are doing, do you guys have a website?
We do, GoldenGateParkBand.org.
Oh, that's pretty straightforward. Okay. And so when people want to find out like what you're playing, or for those people who are maybe aspiring musicians, how would they go about auditioning for you guys?
Actually, we have auditions for a couple of sections coming up at the end of the month. So we need to fill up a couple of vacancies, one French horn player and then a clarinet player. And you can find the information on our website. That's GoldenGateParkBand.org again. And just look for the employment, and then it'll give you information about that. We also have an email list that you can sign up for, and we send that an email out every week about what the concert's going to be about on the following week.
Very cool. Very cool indeed. Well, if there is one thing you wanted our audience to, one message that you wanted to send out to the listening audience, what would that be?
Come out on Sundays at 1 o'clock. Many people think that it's too cold at Golden Gate Park, but I'll tell you, in the morning it's foggy, and then almost every Sunday the sun pops out right about 12:30 or 1 o'clock, and it ends up just being a gorgeous day, like it was yesterday. It was Mother's Day concert. It was gorgeous. People had a great time, and we had a good showing. So come out, bring your friends, bring a picnic lunch, and enjoy the music.
And with that, Herman Gonzalez, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, and thank you for providing free music for the people in the park.
Hey, thank you so much, and thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. People of Earth, you can go to Golden Gate Park, to the band shell, and check out the music, and have a lovely, lovely time.
Quiet, I'm hunting rabbits.
Wabbit wax. Kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit.
Kill the wabbit.
Yo-ho-to, 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 yo-ho.
Almighty warrior of great fighting stock, might I inquire to ask him, what's up, Doc?
I'm going to kill the wabbit.
Almighty hunter, twill be quite a task. How will you do it, might I inquire to ask?
I will do it with my spear and magic helmet.
Your spear and magic helmet?
Spear and magic helmet.
Magic helmet.
Magic helmet.
Magic helmet.
Yes, magic helmet. And I'll give you a sample.
Thank you. was the wabbit.
Thank you.
love that song so much. It's Teo Usueli and the Piacere Sequence. It's from Be at Cinecitta. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. I was tootling down the street the other day. I heard the dulcet tones wafting up the street. I'm singing along. I look, and who is it but a San Francisco treat, America's favorite, Carly Ozard, and she's here today. Welcome.
Yay, thank you so much.
Thanks
for
being
here. It was so awesome to see you the other day.
It was awesome to see you. I've heard you from a distance, like as I've been running back and forth, but this was the first time I was like, oh, that's you. So I got really excited about that. So are you back in San Francisco permanently, or is this temporary? What's the deal?
I am bicoastal. I live here and Connecticut, so, and New York. So, like, I got, you know, I'll stay in Connecticut to audition for things in New York, and then when I'm here, I live at my parents' house in Belmont.
Oh, very nice, very nice. And you've got a show coming up, yeah?
Yeah, it's really exciting. I'm stoked to share all about it here.
Well, please.
Okay, so it's called The Sorcerer, and it's by Gilbert and Sullivan,
uh-huh.
And it's put on by the most incredible company we have, purveying Gilbert and Sullivan, which is the Lamplighters here in San Francisco. We've been around for 72 years. I have not been around for 72 years, but they have. And their productions just keep getting more and more impressive and inclusive. So The Sorcerer was the third collaboration of Gilbert and Sullivan. It is right before HMS Pinafore was written. It's really interesting because it's one of their lesser known operas.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't do it as frequently. So when you come see The Sorcerer this weekend, it's a rare gem that you're getting to see, because you can see Pirates of Penzance, you know, every time there's a leap year or something, but you can't find The Sorcerer very often. And the music is gorgeous. So,
can you talk a little? Bit about the, because you say it is a lesser known, and I barely know, yes, Gilbert and Sullivan to begin with. So, give us what's the story?
All right, so we've reset it after World War I and the Spanish flu, when there was a wave of obsession with the occult throughout Europe, and we have it inside a hotel where an engagement party of the two main characters is taking place. Usually it's like a village, but we are doing this in a hotel. Think like, you know, upstairs, downstairs kind of thing, where like the higher ups are the guests in the 5-star suite and uh-huh. the staff, you know, are the lower class, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, there's exciting stage magic, and there's also chances for audience members to come on stage and cast a spell themselves.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's, you know, there's a operatic formula. I don't know if you know, there's like love potions in some stories where, and Shakespeare too, where basically a love potion is brewed and it's brought to town in this situation by our sorcerer, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's our, a love potion, and then everyone drinks it and the wrong things happen.
Of
basically.
Course. Of course. And who do you play?
I am Mrs. Partlet, and she is from Cornwall. She's from the West Country, and she runs the gift shop in the hotel with her daughter. Okay, her daughter is in love with like a really old man. In not really old, but her daughter is kind of like Wednesday Addams energy, like
uh-huh.
very dark and very like goth kind of emo.
Uh-huh.
And she's in love with like the town. Like older gentlemen, and it's really funny.
Okay.
So lots of funny topsy-turviness, which is what Gilbert and Sullivan's known for.
Now, I think you and I have had this conversation about how you got into musical theater, but as you know, I have a memory like a sieve, and I probably have a whole bunch of new listeners. So how did you get into singing and performing?
My mom took me to a community production of The Music Man when I was like 8.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, I don't know if you're going to like this, but I don't care. I love this show. And if you want to leave at intermission, you're going to just have to suck it up and stay. Because you know how kids are always like, I want to go home.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, okay, am I going to like hate whatever this is?
Uh-huh.
Right? And so I go and I see The Music Man, and I'm so amazed. I would have chained myself to the theater and never gone home. And that was it. I knew. And it was so funny. Even at 8 years old, I was looking at all of the roles. And I was like, oh, I'm Eulalie McKechnie Shin. Like, I'm not Marion with the pretty songs. I'm the funny, you know, bossy lady in charge of everybody else. That's who I am. So
let me ask you this.
Like, I love that show.
So after you and your mom saw it, like, okay, so your mom's probably looked at you at the end and was like, well, did you like it? And did you bubble? And did you guys sing songs? Did you pester her from that point forward to learn all the songs?
I learned all the songs. I would often go and I would check out different cast albums at the library. And there's still libraries today, and you can still do that, everybody.
Yeah.
And that's how I went to the section, and I saw that, like, Music Man was one of many cast recordings of Things. And I took home every single one. I was the homosexual at 9 years old that knew that there were, like, 5 or 6 different Mama Roses. I was like, can you name them? Tyne Daly, Angela Lansbury, Ethel Merman, and I was, like, 9. So we all know that, like, I had no friends. So the Music Man was it. Like, that was it for me, and, like, there was no going back. And then devouring every cast recording, and then remember Blockbuster Gang? Blockbuster
Video? Yeah.
I would go to Blockbuster, and I would sail past the new releases, and I would go to the old musical theater section. I would rent, like, 3 different ones every single time. And my mom was like, I've created a monster.
So what was the first musical that you listened to that was sort of, like, separate from your mom that you felt was, like, your own musical?
Oh, Gypsy. Gypsy. It was like, oh, there's a woman who I could play that's the whole thing. But, I mean, it wasn't about, like, roles or size. It was just, like, Jerry Herman, like, and Julie Stein, the composers. I mean, Jerry Herman didn't write Gypsy, but, like, Julie Stein. And, like, you know, like, those types of composers are what spoke to my voice.
Okay.
And so when I was in Stella Adler School of Acting, like, 100 years later, one of my teachers came up to all of us, and she said, I could list all of the people that you listen to just by hearing how you sing. And she was right about all of us. She was like, Jerry Herman, Julie Stein, Stephen Sondheim. I'm like, guilty, yes.
What? So I'm fascinated by that. Like, how is it? Because was it your phrasing? What was it that gave you guys away? What was the dead ringer? You know, what was the telltale sign?
Often it was generation for real. Like, there were, like, me and 3 other people that were in our early 30s in that class, and then everybody else was in their 20s. So they all sounded like Jason Robert Brown and Rent. That's what they sounded like.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then a couple of the older ones, we all sounded like Godspell, Stephen Schwartz, Godspell. Like, you know, they sounded like, you know, like 70s or 80s. You know what I mean? Children of Eden, like old Stephen Schwartz stuff before he wrote Wicked. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And then here I come with, like, Before the Parade Passed By. You know what I mean?
I love that. I love that you can almost carbon date somebody by which musicals they listen to.
Oh my gosh. And I mean, you can do it with almost every genre now, if you think about it. Like, as long as you know enough.
Uh-huh.
Like, I can tell a lot of the times who people listen to when I hear them sing. Like, my friend Nolan King is Luther Vandross. He doesn't even have to try.
Yeah. So does that mean that, like, so did you enjoy this? Now we're just going on a friend thing. Did you enjoy watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? Because she's clearly musical theater across the board and
crazy. And crazy.
Yeah. But I mean, so did you enjoy watching all of the things?
Of course, I will watch anything that pays musical theater performers to be in the spotlight, you know, for more people to discover them. And then Patti LuPone and Tova Feltsche were both on that show.
Yes!
So, I mean, you had me at Patti LuPone and Tova
Feltsche. Okay, so you fast forward, your mom's like, I've created a monster, but maybe she'll get a real job. And then...
Singing on the street. Yeah, go ahead.
So was your mom, or like, is your mom still around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, does your mom take credit for it, or is she like, I hope you're okay, honey? Like what's where? What is your mom? How does
she? The reason why she was so lucky. My grandmother took her to see every original Broadway cast you can imagine because they lived in New Jersey growing up.
Okay.
And so she got to see the original pretty much. Every so much stuff that I listened to and devoured, you
uh-huh,
know?
Uh-huh.
And so she loves it as much as I do.
Okay.
And so she and my dad, like, they love Lamplighters because their productions are so good. So she's like, even if you were in them, we'd go. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. Like she loves good productions, and so does my dad.
Okay,
they're stoked that I'm in like. Stuff that's good. Could you imagine if I was in stuff that was bad?
Yeah, because they'd still have to be, they'd have to figure out ways to say like, oh, I just love seeing you on stage, or, you know, like,
exactly.
There's only so many ways you can say that.
My mom even said a couple years ago, she's like, I hope you know, like, because Ruddy Gore at Lamplighters was like the most incredible productions visually and every sense you can imagine. And my parents were like, wow, okay, like, you're done. Like, you don't ever need to, that was it. They're like, the caliber of that production was insane. And so, like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't care about, like, Broadway or status. We care about, was it good, and was everybody, like, having a good time, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. So, I'm assuming, so, are your parents going to come out? Obviously, your parents are going to see this one.
Oh yeah, they'll be there Sunday, the closing. But we've got a little offer for opening night people if anybody wants to come.
Oh wait, well, you haven't even talked about like when it opens, how long it runs,
exactly.
And where it is.
Let's talk about the show.
Okay, so, listeners.
No, that's okay. we opened this weekend, and we have three performances. March, oh my God. Aretha, May 16th, 16th, 17th, and 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And we are at the Presidio Theater. Have you ever been there?
I have.
I have too, but I've never performed there. So this is like a lot of us Lamplighters' first time performing there. So we're stoked. It is... Sorry, I'm just pulling it up to make sure I don't say the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a ticket giveaway.
Ooh.
For May 16th, Friday night at 7:30 p.m. If anybody wants to call in and answer a little trivia question, I don't know.
I will do that. So, okay, so it's the 16th and...
At 7:30 p.m.,
okay, and that's the 16th is this Friday.
Friday.
Saturday, when is it?
Saturday is 2 p.m., and May 18th is 2 p.m., so the only night performance is May 16th, 7:30 p.m.
Okay, and that's at the Presidio Theater. And then if people want to find out more about the Lamplighters, how do they go about doing that?
Lamplighters.org. And there's no apostrophe, so it's just Lamplighters with an S at the end, .org.
And then if people want to find out more about what you're doing, where do they go?
My new website is going to be live very soon, so that's just CarlyOzard.com.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meanwhile, just follow me on Instagram at Carly Ozard Sings.
Okay, cool. All right, so you want me to give away a pair of tickets for this Friday the 16th.
For our opening night, baby.
Opening night, baby. All right, well then, if there's one thing you would want to tell our listening audience, what would it be?
Our cast features diversity, shines spotlights, and gives lead role opportunities to different people. They bring people out of the chorus and they put them in lead roles. They train us. They are very incredible. So when you come and see us, you're supporting so much more. Our wardrobe department is so devoted and dedicated to us. We have a brilliant projection designer from France, Anwar Brassel. We have Tali Floor, our costumer, who's been doing incredible work. Our incredible director, Nicholas Garcia, and then Dr. Lynn Morrow is at the conducting helm. And we have so much diversity and so much inclusion that you want to come support us. That's what I have to say. And our productions are amazing. So come have an experience.
Excellent. If that doesn't get the people into the seats, nothing will, because you're a force to be reckoned with, Carly Ozart. I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
I want to thank you for walking by me while I work my street corner.
All right. Okay. So, People of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check out The Sorcerer this weekend. I'm about to give away a pair of tickets. You can give me a call here at 346-5376, and I'm going to ask the question, who's the black private dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks? And that's how it rolls. I forgot to tell you to call in to win those tickets at 415-346-5376.
And that respectable QC, all fast asleep and frescoly. And so I had them carried home and put to bed respectably. And put to bed respectably. I trust my conduct earns your approbation.
Sir, you acted with discrimination and showed more delicate appreciation than we expect in persons of your station.
Yes, it showed more delicate appreciation than we expect in persons of your station. But soft, they waken one by one. The spell has worked, the deed is done. I would suggest that we retire. Why, love, the housemaid lights her kitchen fire. Why, love, the housemaid lights her kitchen fire.
Just when the dew rise,
why does the very way you
like a rose and cheeks like wise mist.
I tell you true, which I never done, sir. I like you as I never liked none, sir.
That, my friends, was from the Sorcerer Act 2. 'Tis 12, I think. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. There's so much to be enjoyed today. For example, there is another film from the annual film festival that's a special presentation of a recent film. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome Cleans Cortez. Welcome.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
Oh, thank you for being on the show today. So let's talk about this popular recent film. Can you tell our listening audience about it?
Sure. That movie has a great success in Greece. It's called, the name of the singer is called Stelios.
Mm-hmm.
And Stelios was a singer of, I was almost like the blues. He was a singer of the people. Mm-hmm. He was, one of his quotations was like my songs is the voice of the suffering, the voice of the uprooted people, the voice of the wronged. And that was very true for him. And that's why he was so popular with all the Greeks, because they could relate to him in the suffering throughout their lives.
And when, about what time did was he popular?
He was popular in the, I would say, 60s and 70s. He was very popular there, also in the 80s, too.
Okay.
Towards the later in his life, he stopped going out and singing into clubs and stuff like that, but he had still doing music and private and singing and stuff like that, but he got away from being into the nightclubs, which was the beginning part of his career.
Okay, so was he known only in Greece, or did he have an international following as well?
I think he had mostly in Greece, even though there are some people who knew him outside Greece, but I would say the majority was in Greece that people knew him. His intensity was very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
His themes had to do with the migration. It had to do with the folk, the urban, so people can really relate to it because of the suffering of the kind of like almost type of the blues music, but not exactly. He had a raw voice that people could relate to it.
So would you say that when he sang in Greece, was it using Greek traditions, or was it sort of incorporating styles of music from other parts of the world?
I would say because his family and he himself, when he was young, he was uprooted from the Greek community of Pontiac.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, he was able to relate to people that they left from other areas, like in Turkey, Middle
mm-hmm.
East,
mm-hmm.
and they went to Greece so that people could relate to that. So in around them, the Mediterranean area, people knew him very, very well. And because of his music, you know, he was kind of very close to Spink, also singing very traditional and very spiritual kind of of singing.
Mm-hmm.
So people could relate to them, and kind of like a, I don't know, I guess, you know, his depth of this music was also part of the, you could relate like almost like Ray Charles type of thing, Aretha Franklin. You could relate to that because she was that strong with individuals that people could relate, sing the songs about missing the homes,
mm-hmm.
lost love, dignity, hardship, all those things, you know, that people can relate to once they're uprooted, let's say.
Okay. So this, I've been told that it's the biggest Greek film of the year. Is that true?
It is. Yes, it is. It's the biggest, so far, it's biggest also, you know, in Greece, and also is doing a worldwide premiere throughout the whole world right now, and is being received very, very well by people. So that, you know, that's very strong. His type of the music was what we called, in the Greek, we call the rebetiko and the laiko, which means the urban folk genre music. And that made it people there's about 10 million Greeks throughout the world that live outside Greece.
Mm-hmm.
So all those people from Australia, Italy, Germany, United States, they all want to hear him because they can all relate to that type of music and singing. I'm thinking of back home and everything else.
So what were some of the hits that came out of the time?
I think probably I'm not a musician, so so I think one of the songs that it has with a big title is called Iparcho, which means I exist, and people always relate to that song, you know, that I exist, you know, no matter where I go, I will exist and I will continue to exist.
Okay. So now tell me a little bit about this film. Is it a documentary or is it a...
It's a documentary about his life, but it's not a real documentary because there are actors playing his role and singing and stuff like that. And basically his life from the time he left the Pontic area and he went to Greece as a small kid, and then he started working at nightclubs at night, and how he grew up, married, his life and songs and music and writing contracts with, you know, film companies, music companies, and so on and so forth. So basically it was about his life and his music, but not a directly documentary.
Okay. And how did you come in contact with the people who made the film?
Well, because we're the San Francisco Greek Film Festival, we are based in San Francisco, of course, and we do all our screenings at the Delancey Street screening room, which right on the Embarcadero.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing it for 22 years now. And we stay in contact with Greece, what movies is coming, what's playing, and so on and so forth. So when we hear a good movie, something like that, a lot of people send it to us to play it in our festival, or we requested to get it. So that was on a film we requested to get because we knew it would have a lot of audience participation. People would like it and they can relate to it.
Okay. Now, is this the premiere, or did you show it during the festival originally?
No, it's not a premiere. We did not show it during the festival, and that's why we're doing the special viewing, because at that time, that movie was not available during our festival time yet.
Very cool, very cool. So are people like waiting with bated breath? What was the buzz when people found out that this movie was coming?
Well, they got very excited, of course, and they asked us during the festival, are you going to bring this movie? Are you going to bring this movie? We said, yes, we're going to bring this movie. And to really think about it, in 22 years, I think this is the second or the third time that we're doing a special viewing. And this is the first time we're doing a viewing of the film in two nights. Nice. So that to tell you how special the movie is.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So you say, so it's two nights. So for our listening audience, when and where?
It's on May 23rd and May 24th, coming up very soon.
Okay.
At 7 o'clock in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at the Delancey Street Screening Room, which is at 600 Barcandero Street.
Okay, okay.
And people can get tickets online or right at the theater if they're going to be available.
So when you say online, where would they go to get tickets?
The easiest thing to do is go to grfilm.com.
Okay, okay. And in addition to this movie, what other things does your organization do?
Well, our organization, what they do is we're part of the Modern Greek Studies Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
We raise funds to support educational programs at UC Berkeley.
Oh, nice.
So the funds that we raise for the festival, the profits we make, it goes to the foundation. The foundation gives it to UC Berkeley. They have a Greek program there that we support students, we support classes, we give scholarships. And that's about it. And, you know, so it's a win-win all around.
Excellent. And if people wanted to find out more about the organization, where would they go online to find that out?
For the organization, they can go to mgsf.org, which is Modern Greek Studies Foundation.org, mgsf.org.
Okay.
And for the film festival, it's at grfilm.com. Those are the two different places, and each website refers the other one.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, Cleon. Is there any other thing you want to make sure that our listening audience knows about?
No, we'd love them to come and watch the movie and enjoy it. That would be great.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, once again, thank you so much for being on the show. And yeah, you have no idea, but I have loved Greek music since I was a teenager.
Okay.
So I'm excited to hear about someone that was not on my radar because I only had what was at our public library at the time.
Right.
So I had like Sebastos Venatoulis and his Corinthian singers and stuff like that. So it's
Marin,
nice.
We'd love to have you at our festival. Come on down. Come
well,
on,
thank
you. Either the 23rd and the 24th, 2 days to choose from, or both days if you enjoyed that, you know.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Marin.
And people of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check it out. And I'm going to play. He talked about Iparcho, and I'm going to say to our listener, Evharisto, for letting us do this. And let's listen to this classic.
Υπάρχω κι όσο υπάρχεις θα υπάρχω σκλάβα τη ζωή σου θα έχω κι ας βαδίζουμε σε δρόμους χωριστούς. Υπάρχω μες στα μάτια σου που κλαίνε μες στα χείλη σου που καίνε και θα υπάρχω στα τραγούδια που θα ακούς. Είμαι τη ζωή σου ο ένας, δεν με σβήνει κανένας κι αν με άλλους μιλάς κι ώρες ώρες γελάς, κατά βάθος πονάς γιατί σκέφτεσαι εμένα. Είμαι και αρχή και φινάλε και στη σκέψη σου βάλε πως αν κάνεις δεσμό με σε λίγο καιρό θα χωρίσεις γιατί θα υπάρχω εγώ. Υπάρχω στη χαρά σου και στη λύπη, η μορφή μου δε θα σου λείπει κι ούτε πρόκειται ποτέ να ξεχαστώ. Υπάρχω μες στη τύχη σου που βρίζεις, στο μυαλό σου που ζαλίζεις με τσιγάρο μ' αναμνήσεις και πιωτό. Είμαι τη ζωή σου ο ένας, δεν με σβήνει κανένας κι αν με άλλους μιλάς κι ώρες ώρες γελάς, κατά βάθος πονάς γιατί σκέφτεσαι εμένα. Είμαι και αρχή και φινάλε και στη σκέψη σου βάλε πως αν κάνεις δεσμό με σε λίγο καιρό θα χωρίσεις γιατί θα υπάρχω εγώ.
Mm. That was Stelios and Iparjo. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. It's time for me to turn the mic over to Mr. Ford, who'll be pleasuring your ear hole. So until next week, my friends, ta-ta and tiddly-dee.